connection, whatever. But one of the more popular, again, popular is such a weird word for it. One of the more used ones recently that I think was noteworthy specifically because of one tweet from Michelle Obama was
and
hashtag
many other celebrities.
Yeah, was a hashtag bring back our girls. You know, that Michelle Obama hashtag picture where she's sort of like looking sad and looking at the camera and holding up the piece of paper that says hashtag bring back our girls. I think that's a pretty iconic moment for like a, such a huge figure, not just like as like she's a celebrity, like she's a movie star, but she's the first lady.
Right. And she faced a lot of criticism for it well, unfortunately.
And also lots of people have photoshopped that picture to make that the piece of paper she's holding say other things.
Including ISIS, the militant group itself.
Oh, wow. Well, just some background for hashtag bring back our girls. It was coined in response to the terrorist group Boko Haram kidnapping, a large number of girls April 14th, 2014. And on their website, Bring Back Our Girls, they say 276 girls were reported to have been abducted. 53 escaped from the terrorist hold. But that means 223 girls are still missing. And actually, what's really interesting is to, as we've kind of talked about with some of the other campaigns, is that after a certain amount of time, the hashtags lose popularity. You know, there's a big boom. Everyone's using it. And that's kind of the theme of our Slacktivism episode, is like, how do we see this, you know, huge boom in usage of the hashtags, and then it just like fades away as other issues take over and people just lose interest. But hashtag bring back our girls, that campaign has tried to maintain a presence on social media, both on their Facebook page, on their Twitter feed, on their website, by posting every single day how many days it's been since the girls were kidnapped. So today is the 283rd day since 273 Nigerian schoolgirls were kidnapped. And the under their news newsfeed on their website, it says, after that, we ask that all of you from whatever city or country you live to continue. So that's kind of interesting that it's a very like open-ended call to action.
Yeah.
You know, and what does that mean?
And what's interesting about it is I have a source from the Washington Post here that says that, first of all, there's over 4 million tweets that use hashtag bring back our girls, which is incredible.
Yeah.
And that a Nigerian lawyer is credited for coming up with it. His name is Ibrahim Abdullahi, and that he had tried to use that, like, hashtag bring back our girls was his fourth hashtag about the situation with Boko Haram, and that the other previous hashtags he tried were hashtag Chibok girls, hashtag Borno girls, and hashtag abducted Borno girls. None of them took off. None of them mattered. And those were much more specific than hashtag bring back our girls, which, as you pointed out, Megan, like the openness of bring back our girls makes it sort of like multiply, you could apply it in multiple situations.
And I think what's really interesting, too, is our conversation about I am Michael Brown, the use of bring back our girls. Again, it's ownership of the issue. And it's not, because when you specify it to the place, first of all, most Americans probably don't even know where those places are.
Right.
So that's, you know, worth considering. But also just like that word choice. And again, what we talked about is like how to coin a successful hashtag, something that everyone can relate to. And bring back our girls. I think the two B's there, that alliteration is catchy.
Absolutely.
You know, and, you know, girls in particular, that's just, it's an endearing kind of word with this connotation to it, and our girls. So I think just every choice was so specific in coining that hashtag. And actually, on the website, too, we pulled up information about the first person, like the who is it? Ibrahim Abdullahi coined the phrase, or he made the first tweet. But one of the other notable people who spread the phrase was the federal minister of solid minerals in Nigeria, and her name is Obiageli Ezek. Silly. That was brutal. I'm so sorry.
I respect your effort.
Thank you. But, you know, it's just interesting that, you know, these leaders kind of local to the issue were able to spread this hashtag across international boundaries, many boundaries, I think, because it wasn't only young people on Twitter who were using it. We had celebrities using it, obviously political leaders using it. So just kind of like those social classes as well, transcending those boundaries.
Yeah, it's really that's transcendent of not just, you know, in the not just online, but in this larger sort of like we were speaking earlier with some of the other hashtags, this community sense of community that these hashtags provide. Because Bring Back Our Girls, like that ownership is so important in that hashtag. And it was also, I think, if I'm remembering the numbers from the other hashtags accurately, that's been the most used one, I think, that we've talked about today.
Yeah.
And so that ownership and that alliteration stuff, those are like legitimate rhetorical strategies that are something to think about. And like the idea of crafting a hashtag, like of like on purpose trying to make a hashtag that will be popular, is really pretty fascinating.
It shows how powerful that medium is, that that's the first, the route that you go to make change.
Yeah.
Is finding a hashtag for
it. Yeah, the Nigerian lawyer who's credited with coming up for it, he said in an interview that you know, before the hashtag, no one was talking about it, even in Nigeria, that like, no, this was not something that was being addressed, and he couldn't believe that this wasn't happening. And so that's why he tried to create these hashtags to raise awareness of it. I think that that's just a really interesting idea to think, like, what's an issue that I think is really brutal and horrible and that people should know about and they aren't talking about? Maybe I should come up with a hashtag to, to raise awareness of it. And it's, you know, like, I think that's something perhaps for later episodes, because unfortunately we're pretty close to being out of time here, but the idea of, like, is the idea of raising awareness about something, quote, enough?
Right.
You know, like, it's sort of like when there's, like, that, like, a Facebook thing a few years ago where all the women were posting, like, mine's red, mine's yellow, or it was supposed to be like, you remember, like, the color, it was supposed to be like the color of their bras or something like that. And it was supposed to be raising breast cancer awareness. I'm like, well, I don't even know what you're talking about.
Right.
How, what is this doing? Is that, you know, sort of like a classic example of slacktivism in that, in that space?
Yeah. I did read this article on BBC that says that what's unique about hashtags, despite the fact that, you know, like, actually on Twitter now, you don't have to type in a hashtag in order to Google it or, like, to, you know, to search it. Like, to search something, you could just type in Bring Back Our Girls with spaces and, you know, you'll still come same content. But according to this BBC article, it says what makes them unique is they describe your emotional state and they let you describe something and it provides you a tone of voice in using a hashtag, because the hashtag that you're using is symbolic of the entire movement. And it, you know, it brings out an entirely different area of conversation and discussion. And I think that's really amazing that something so simple has made such huge political impacts.
Yeah.
Just it's the power. One of the things that is unique about this is the power of the individual becomes so clear in these moments that one individual can really have such a large impact. And it seems like more individuals, because of slacktivism, I suppose, have the opportunity to have impact
and to engage in the conversation.
It's like, it's what it's in to me, at least, if I can analyze this information a little, is that it's increasing the breadth of conversations about these topics. It might not necessarily be increasing the depth, though. I think that there's some arguments that you could probably make that, so even though these Twitter messages are very short, that oftentimes they're making really engaging and interesting choices with, as we've sort of alluded to before, these very specific rhetorical decisions in them. But